This is Yeah Chef Jacob Podcast, Episode 20, How to Cook a Tender Rump Steak. I've got answers. You can find all of the Ask Chef Jacob podcasts at askchefjacob.com. And on that page, there is a little audio widget that you can click on and record your audio questions and send them my way. If you're shy, you can also just email me those questions, jacob@stellaculinary.com, and I'd be happy to answer them for you. So in this episode, I get a question from Danny, and Danny says, "Hi, Chef Jacob, are you able to tell me exactly how to cook rump steak so it's tender and melts in your mouth? Danny M. from Australia." Well, thanks, Danny. You kind of get right to the point there. And I'm glad that you told me that you're from Australia, because we use different terminology in the United States to refer to a rump steak than you do in Australia or in the UK. So basically, in the UK or Australia, the cut from the rump primal, which is the rump steak, is largely equivalent to the American sirloin. But to make things even more confusing, is in Britain, what we normally call the sirloin in the United States is our short loin, okay? But so think of it like this, and this is important because you need to know where your cut of meat comes from to create your cooking strategy. So when you visualize a cow or a steer out in the field grazing, you know, you have to imagine all those muscles that are holding this steer up, right? It's a heavy animal, and it's constantly just slowly lumbering around the pasture grazing. So any cut that comes from the front breast region, the legs, the shoulders, the neck, those are all going to be doing a whole lot of work. Same thing on the back end of the animal, where, again, you have the legs, and then you have the top round, or and then the round, which is basically the hind quarters. In Australia and the UK, they'll what we refer to as the round cut, they refer to as the top side, and also the sliver side on the very back end. So when you look at the rump, and I'm going to actually put a link to this in the show notes, there's a nice diagram that they do on Wikipedia, right? So I'll put a link to that. And if you want, maybe just go to the show notes right now, stellaculinary.com/ACJ20. Click on this link while you're listening to this podcast and look at the diagrams so you can kind of follow along with me. So you can see the rump roast is located further back on the animal. So all the prime steak cuts, or the nice tender steak cuts, are located in the center of the animal along the spine. Okay, that's where you get your New York strip. That's where you get your ribeye and your T-bone. Now, the most tender cut of steak is the filet of beef, or also known as the filet mignon. And the filet of beef comes from the beef tenderloin, and the reason why it's so tender is because it is on the lower back of the animal on the inside of the rib cage. And this keeps that muscle from doing a whole lot of work. So in general, the less work a muscle does, the more tender it will be. The more work a muscle does, the tougher it will be. So when you look at the rump is in between the hind quarter and the loin of the animal. So it's not quite a tough cut like a shoulder or a breast or a shank would be, but it's also not a tender cut like a New York strip, ribeye, or fillet of beef would be. So this gives us a bit of a strategy. So what this means is, because it's kind of one of those in-between cuts, we don't want to undercook it, but we also don't want to braise it forever either, because there's not enough connective tissue or collagen for it to break down over time to give you a braised texture like a short rib, right? It'll just dry out. So when you say, Danny, so it's tender and melts in your mouth, you're never going to want 100% accomplish that with a rump steak. It's just not a tender cut. But you can apply some techniques to make it more tender. And a rump steak is sort of like a tri-tip. It is, and I don't know why I say tri-tip, because I only think the people on the West Coast of the United States know what tri-tip is. It seems like East Coasters and people from other countries just don't really know tri-tip. It's kind of a West Coast thing. But tri-tip is also an in-between cut. And so what this means is it's perfect for marination. And there's no shortage of steak marinades that you can search for online. So anything from a red wine marinade to a soy-based marinade, but you're going to want to marinate that steak. Now, if you don't marinate the steak, one thing that you can do is use baking soda to raise the pH of the steak, and this will make the steak more tender. And so your approach for this is you want to weigh the steak, and then multiply that weight by 0.01, which is going to give you 1%. Now that's the amount of salt that you want to use. And then you're going to multiply that weight by 0.001, which is going to give you 0.1%. And that's the amount of baking soda you want to use. Now disperse that baking soda into the salt and then sprinkle on both sides. Sprinkle all the salt on both sides. And what this is going to do is, so the salt itself will help the steak retain moisture during the cooking process. But the baking soda, as it shifts the pH of the steak upwards, it will also make the steak tender by breaking down connective tissue. Now, you want to let the salt sit and diffuse for a minimum 2 hours, but for best case scenario, overnight. So you want to buy your rump steak, salt it with 1% salt, 0.1% baking soda, and let it sit preferably 12 to 24 hours in your refrigerator. After that resting point, now you're ready to cook it. And again, you don't want to overcook this steak because it will dry out on you. So what you want to do is use a high heat cooking method, and you can use any cooking method that you would normally use for a tender cut of steak. So you can grill it, you can pan roast it, and I'll put a link in the show notes to my pan roasting videos. I do a ribeye and also a beef tenderloin. So grilling, pan roasting, if it's thin enough, you can just sear it and serve it sort of rare. But really for a steak that is a little bit on the tougher side, like a rump steak, you're going to want to go about medium rare to medium, okay? Because if you serve it rare, it definitely will be chewy. Now, this all changes if you cook sous vide and you have an immersion circulator. And so my approach for this steak sous vide would be 58 degrees Celsius for probably 6 to 8 hours. And then take it out of the package, pat it dry, give it a quick sear, and you're going to be doing awesome, right? So what that's doing is, so with sous vide, we're able to hold that steak at, between a medium and mid-rare. So mid-rare is about 55 degrees Celsius. A medium steak would be about 60 degrees Celsius. So with 58 degrees Celsius, we're holding it right at a mid-rare. Right in between a mid-rare and a medium. But we're holding it there for 4 to 8 hours, or 6 to 8 hours, right? And with ribeyes, I know you can go as long as 12. So with a rump steak, you might want to go 12 as well. But I'm thinking 58 should do it, most definitely. 58 at 6 to 8 hours should do it. And that's going to break down that connective tissue, which is making that rump steak chewy in the first place, while still keeping it at, a medium-ish temperature. So then take the rump steak out of the circulator, pat it dry, let it rest at room temperature for probably about 2 minutes to let the exterior cool a little bit. And then from there, you just want to finish it as fast as possible. So use really high heat. So searing in a cast iron pan or a stainless steel skillet that's already been, you know, charged with a lot of heat. Or you can just throw it on your grill and kiss it. So if you don't have an immersion circulator, try your favorite steak marinade. If you don't want to influence the flavor of the steak with the marinade, then I would try the dry salt rub and the baking soda mix. So again, 1% salt, 0.1% baking soda. And I'll write this into the show notes so you can have it as a reference. But if you have an immersion circulator, then you're going to be real lucky. And at this point too, I mean, immersion circulators, the Innova I know is sub $200 US. The Sancerre is sub $200 US, both solid units that you can use. So, you know, it might be worth it. You can take tough cuts of meat, cook them sous vide, and make them eat like a premium steak. All right, Danny, well, I hope that answered your question, and I appreciate everyone listening to this episode of the Ask Chef Jacob podcast. This episode's show notes with some links to some of the techniques we were talking about can be found at stellacorner.com/ACJ20. If you have a question of your own, you can go to askchefjacob.com, click on that little audio record button, and leave me a voicemail, or you can just email me jacob@stellacorner.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you.